Morning, Saints. A lot of our congregation went with Pastor to Sarasota this morning. So just pray that the Lord will have him a safe trip, and he'll be pastoring up there. So we are few in numbers today, but we still have the Lord with us. Stand down and just read. It's going to be Job 37. It says, considering God's works. It says, and at this also my heart trembled, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directed it onto the whole heaven, and his lightning onto the ends of the earth. After the voice roareth, he thundered with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into the dens, and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God's frost is given, and that the breath of his waters is straightened. Also, by watering the wearieth, the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned around by his counsel, that they may do whatever he commanded them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come whether for correction or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous work of God. We'll say the same to our little assembly here. We just got to hearken unto his word and just know how powerful and wonderful he is. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work. Let's have a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we want to ask that you watch over the saints, dear Lord God, on the road today, and that they'll get to Sarasota in time, dear Lord God, and deliver a message from you. Also ask that you'll bless our brother visiting here today, dear Lord God, that you'll bless him as he brings a message to us. May you bless those who are still on the way, and we just thank you for a place that we can gather where we know we'll hear the truth. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sing this little song. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. The sun will shine. Across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Oh, again. Oh, across the bridge. Oh, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge. There's no more pain. Oh, the sun will shine. Across the river. Oh, and we'll never be unhappy, oh, again, once more. Oh, across the bridge, oh, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. Oh, the sun will shine across the river. Oh, and we'll never be unhappy again. Cross the bridge. Oh, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. The sun will shine across the river. Oh, and we'll never be unhappy. Oh, we'll never be unhappy. Oh, we'll never be unhappy again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Across the bridge. Amen, amen, amen. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, oh, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. Oh, I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Once more. Oh, this is the day. Yes, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. My God, He made it. He gave it to us. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day. Yes, thank you, Lord, for this day. My God. All right. I know the master of the wind. Help me with this one. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Thank you, Lord. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Yes, I know the master of the wind. Thank you, Lord. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Yes. Oh, I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Once more. Whoa. I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He's the master, my God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Maybe seated as we sing this little song. We get ready for the offering here. It says, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Oh, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Oh, raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. As our brothers come, thank you, Jesus. Good to see Brother Burrs this morning. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing us out to the house of worship one more time. Heavenly Father, it's what we created to do, is to worship you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord just to worship you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, it just reminds me of in the beginning that you created this heaven and you created this earth. Heavenly Father, you created the only thing that was created in your image, Lord, was your people, Lord, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we know the evil one would like to exalt his throne above your throne. Lord, we know within you, Heavenly Father, there is light and there is no darkness, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, just guide us to that light, Heavenly Father. Lord, it reminds me of the preacher that says, Heavenly Father, about the egg that was found in the chicken nest. Heavenly Father, that was an eagle egg, Heavenly Father. We know that one day, Lord, Heavenly Father, we would hear your voice. Heavenly Father, the deep will call out to the deep. Oh, Heavenly Father, we arise to what you created us to be, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, you didn't create us servants, Lord, but we are sons and we are daughters, Lord. Heavenly Father, and you brood over this earth to make it what it is, Lord. Heavenly Father, as that chicken, Lord, brood over that egg, Lord. But, Lord, one day that eagle rose, Lord. And, Heavenly Father, we will rise to be what you created us to be, Heavenly Father. And, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Heavenly Father. bless this offering, Heavenly Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that we give, Lord, because you give, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for this offering. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Glory.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for, huh? Because his strength is perfect. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Oh, his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. Brother Jude, his strength is perfect. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you, church. Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. And I miss Brother Jack, and I heard everybody at Sarasota. Amen. May God grant him mercies and grace. Amen. I'd like to sing a song for the glory of God. Amen.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, bake me a reflection of your light. Day star shine down on me, and let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your love shine through me and show me what I never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness.
Help me, church.
You can take what's wrong and make it right. Day star shine down on me, and let your love shine through me in the night.
Amen.
Lord, I've seen the world is dying, haunted by the master of defeat. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, Lord, the countenance.
I miss on the song. Help me, church.
Jesus, shine down on me.
Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. And let you show me things I never see. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can't take what's wrong and make it right. You can make it right. And day stars shine down on me. Let the chorus sing it again. Let the choir sing it. Because I like it better with the choir. Lead me, Lord, I follow.
I follow you, God. Anywhere you open up the door, let your word speak through me. Let your wisdom show me why I never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Shine down on me and let your love shine through me and the night. Jesus, shine down on me. Jesus, shine down on me and let your love shine through me and the night. Day star, shine down on me. Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Thank you. God bless you. That was very nice.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Mr. Burris.
God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. He brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, he placed my feet on a rock to stay. And he put a song in my heart to stay. A song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He placed my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today. A song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, and Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. I say, Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, and he placed my feet on a rock to stay. And he put a song in my heart to stay. Oh, a song of praise, hallelujah. No, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Oh, my Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Hey, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Tell me, how can I forget what you've done for me? Oh, how can I forget how you set me free? Oh, how can I forget how you brought me out? Oh, how can I forget? No, never. Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. Oh, and he placed my feet on a rock to stay. It was he put a song in my heart today. Oh, a song, song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, no, I won't forget what he done for me. Oh, no, I won't forget how he set me free. Hey, no, I won't forget how he brought me out. No, I won't forget, no, never. He brought me out of a miry clay. He placed my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today. A song of praise, hallelujah. Oh, a song of praise, hallelujah. Yeah, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, my God. Song of praise, hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Burns. Glory. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As my brother prepares to come, we'll just go to Because He Lives. That's why we're here, because He lives. Thank you, Jesus. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives.
Oh, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives. All fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. One more time. And
because he lives. Oh, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone, and because I know, yes, I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that an opportunity like this has been afforded unto us that we could be here, dear God. Father, we're under great expectations. Dear Lord, I'm encouraged by Your scripture that says where two or three are gathered together in Your name, You would be in our midst, dear God. Father, I think about how many denominations have set church service in order this morning. But yet, dear Lord, You have bypassed those great grand denominations. And dear God, You have sought out a little flock that has come together under the spirit of truth, under the spirit of liberty. And Father, we thank You, dear Lord, because You have come and visited us this morning, dear God. We're not anyone special, dear God, but we worship a special God. Father, minister to our very needs this morning. You know the circumstances of every individual, dear Lord. There's not one prayer that's softly spoken, dear Lord, that was not known before the foundation of the world. Father, dear Lord, that's the reason why it's no coincidence that the Lamb was also slain before the foundation of the world. Father, we have a more sure word of prophecy that we could peel back the pages of the Bible and look into our inheritance. And Father, with a resounding yes, we can say amen to the word of truth. Father, may the people have liberty to pull on the gift of God. May You speak to every heart, dear God. Father, dear Lord, Your prophets say that a man with any gift should have the ability to put himself out of the way so that way the Holy Spirit could minister to the hearts of Your people. Speak to us now, dear God. Heal the sick. Deliver the oppressed, dear God. Set the captives free, dear God. Oh, Father, we might be 2 to 3, dear God, but let there be a shout in the camp that the devil thinks there's 200 to 300 that's worshiping God. Amen. Speak to us now, dear God. Oh, Father, we have every reason to give You joy. We have every reason to give You our best of worship. Oh, Father, by the means that You've allowed us to come to church, dear God, we ought to glorify the everlasting God, the great Creator. Oh, Father, no man called me to this, but You have called me to this. Oh, Father, when I look in the morning to God and I see myself in the mirror, dear God, I thank You for the miracle You have done in my life. We commit this little simple prayer into Your hand. Bless the reading of the word. Bless Brother Jack as he travels, dear Lord, seeking to be a blessing elsewhere, dear God. May You give him grace and strength. Father, we commit this assembly into Your hands. In Jesus' precious name, and the bride says, amen. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. You love Him this morning? Amen. Certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to see familiar faces. Brother Jude, obviously, it's always good to see you. And it's good to see everyone else, Brother Henry. And it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, and then also we'll read one scripture there, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 11, and then I'll let you have your seats, and then we'll read a little bit and get started. Amen? Proverbs chapter 18, once you get there, say amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The Bible reads, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved." Amen. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. And as you're catching your seats, turn with me to Numbers chapter 35. Somewhat of a lengthy read, but I was debating whether or not I wanted to open up with that particular scripture, but it helps set the foundation. And for a thought this morning, I'd like to go down the path of the city of refuge. Some time back, I ministered this at our home church, and it was just such a blessing, not only for the hearers, but also the one that was standing behind the pulpit delivering it. And there's just so much that could be related to just the city of refuge. Amen. So Numbers chapter 35, just a quick, and I'll read it pretty quickly. So if you're having a hard time keeping up, just note it down. And when you have some spare time, you could go back and read it. But Numbers 35, verse 9, and it reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which ye shall give, six cities," now these are some important points, "six cities shall ye have for refuge. He shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which was on the other side of Jordan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." So just kind of pausing there real quickly. So God is not only taking into consideration the Jews, but he's also looking down the path and saying the Gentiles has a stake in this as well. And so he goes on and says, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. And this kind of paraphrasing, he says, and if he smite him with thorn of a stone, he dies. If he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, he dies. Verse 19, the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or an enmity, smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. For the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, and this is where we come in, or have cast upon anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge whither he has fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest." So he resides in that city of refuge unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of refuge whither he has fled. Now, this is important. If he's left the border of that city of refuge, that was his protection, where he has fled to. Verse 27, and the revenger of blood find him outside the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. Amen. You know, it's just the thing I like about the scripture is that when you read the scripture, they're not words that just fancy your spirits. but rather their assurance, their phrases and expressions of God that settles your soul. And, you know, when we look at the opening scripture, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 18, how that the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's not just any tower, but the Bible says it's a strong and it's a mighty tower. And the Bible talks about how it's the name of the Lord. And the Bible goes on to say that there's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting because when people find themselves in danger, when people find themselves in a critical situation, you know, unconsciously, the very first thing they do is cry out, "My God." That's the first thing they do, is because they know that there is authority. They know that there's power that comes with the name of God. And so they can't call on a government. They can't call on an institution. So they call, "My God." And so that's the natural reaction because, you know, the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Whether they believe of God or not, you know, you look at atheists, they deny God, but when they find themselves in a situation, they slip out and say, "My God." Amen. Because they know of an existing God. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, how the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You know, it's interesting because we live in such a modern age of technology. You know, before I left the home this morning, my wife and I, we locked the doors. We put our ADT alarm system on. But let me tell you, that's not going to help as long as I know that God is watching over my home. There's not enough alarm systems. There's not enough bolts and locks that can stop a devil from entering into your home. But prayer can stop any devil from advancing not only into your homes, but can it stop a devil from advancing into your families? Are you staying with me? We don't need to be caught up on this technology. Look, I benefit from it, but that's not my anchor. My anchor is in this word. We might be two or three, but I'm still going to get an amen. Because my God is alive. My God is real. I traveled 2.5 hours. We're going to have church, saints. We're going to show the devil that God is alive. He's a mighty tower. And the righteous runs right into it. And the Bible says the righteous runs right into it. Let me tell you, this is not a casual walk. There's a sense of urgency, especially living in this day and age, that we are to run into the tower of the Lord, to run into that protection. And then the Bible says in Matthew, Jesus says these encouraging words, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My goodness. We've been in this journey for such a long time. And these notable words that's spoken in Matthew 11 were directly from the lips of Jesus. What a welcoming invitation. And he's applying that scripture to you. And he says, "Come unto me." There's no conditions attached to it. He just says, "You're all invited to this place of altar. And I will give you rest for your souls. Look, my body is tired. My arms are aching. My neck hurts. But my soul has found constant rest in the word of God. I may not know how I'm going to pay the bills, but my soul finds rest in the word of God. My job might be on the rocks, but my soul finds rest in the word of God. I don't trust myself in the hands of man, but I trust myself in the words of God. Even in the 21st century, my God is still greater. He's still bigger. That's the reason why the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Can we say amen? And there's a place that we could come to, saints, and find comfort, and find tranquility, find peace. a place that we could come to. You know, God looks in the direction of Moses. And he tells Moses, there are six cities that I want you to build. Oh, man. Three on one side of Jordan. And then three on the other side of Jordan. And I want you to stay close with me as we follow this type. And so he mentions them of six cities. And you find them noted within certain places in the scripture. We read of, you know, Numbers and Joshua, Deuteronomy. And so what Moses started to do, Joshua comes along and picks it up and continues that work. And on the one side of Jordan, the names of those cities was Bezer, Ramoth-Gilead, and Golan. And the name of these, Bezer, it meant remote fortress. And Ramoth meant height. And Golan meant the root meaning of Golan meant captivity. Are we staying together? And on the east side, there were three additional cities. And they were called Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron. Kadesh meant holy place. And Shechem means back or shoulder. And Hebron means association or similar group. And so when you begin to put the names of these cities together and you begin to understand the story that God's telling you through these names, that's the reason why the Bible says to have a good name is very important. So when we begin to put these names, holy place, shoulder, association, you know, or captivity or heights, fortress, you know, I begin to think and all and the sins come to mind, God captures your heart and carries you on his shoulders to a remote fortress on higher heights to a holy place with an associated group of people. God is carrying you on his shoulders when you're too tired to walk for yourself. He picks you up and he brings you to higher heights. That's the reason why the Bible says you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, I might be grounded here on earth, but my spirit is sitting in heavenly places. I'm anointed with an eagle's anointing. I see things the world cannot see. That's the reason why I live different from the world. And I'm associated with a common group of people of like precious faith that believe the same message, that believe the same God, that respond to the same word. Let me tell you, saints, it's not coincidental. It's by predestination. Amen. God has brought us to this place. You might have said, well, I took the wrong turn. You were still predestinated to take that turn. The Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. To think, before there was ever a need for a city, oh my. Before there was ever a need for a city, God had to make provisions. He knew that there would need to be a city of refuge. But six is the number of men. There had to be a seventh to bring completion. Let me tell you, back in the Old Testament, they might have run to a brick and mortar. They might have ran to an actual city. But in this day, we don't run to a city. We run to Jesus Christ. Are we staying together? Oh, my goodness. There was protection. And the way the cities were situated, the cities were situated within proximity, so that when no matter where you were at geographically, you had immediate access to that city of refuge. So if you needed to run to a place of protection, you know, you had a you know, a couple of cities within that area. Right. But, you know, God is so mindful of us, saints. That Brother Branham says that Jordan represents death. Woo! Jordan represents death. So he put three cities on one side of glory. And he put three cities on the other side of glory. The same protection that you have on this side of glory is the same protection that sees you when you cross over onto the other side. The same Jesus on this side of glory is the same Jesus waiting for me on the other side of glory. Amen. The same God that brought me to this word on this side of glory, it's the same God that's waiting for me on the other side when I cross beyond the curtains of time, waiting to embrace me. What a perfect order of scripture. You know, God put the cities in order. The Avenger. What happens was that if a man was out in the field with another man and they were chopping wood or something like that, having a conversation with Bob or something like that, and he's chopping wood, and perhaps the iron of the axe goes flying off, and it lands and gets a hold of the other guy, and the guy gets killed in the process. I mean, that's his friend. He didn't mean to do that. He didn't mean to kill the person. You know, he was doing his work, and the head of the axe, the iron piece, goes flying off, and it lodges in his head or something like that. And he turns around. There's not a witness. No one saw what happened. They don't know if they got into an argument. They don't know if they got into a fight. So now what happens is that he fears for his life. And he realized that someone's going to come after him and avenge him for the death that he committed. Oh, my. But he was innocent in his actions. But no one else knows that. So the only thing he could do was quickly make haste and find the nearest city that he could run to. Because he realized that his life was in danger. Let me tell you, saints, the reason why you're sitting here this morning is because your life at one time was in danger. When the act occurred, the men didn't just sit down and kind of say, well, you know what, I hope, you know, I'm just going to cover this up. No, there was a sense of urgency. He could not sit still. He knew he had to do something. He had to find some help. Let me tell you, when I came to this message, I realized how important it was. I could not sit still. You might come to church and sit still now, but you ran to church before. So he said, praise the Lord. He realized how important it was to find refuge. How important it was. He looked at the situation. He says, my goodness, I'm in a world of trouble. No one's going to believe that this. I did not mean to kill him. Death hung over him. The Avenger was going to come after him. And the only thing that he could do was find a place of refuge. A place where he could find safety. Let me tell you, saints, he didn't have time to, you know, to casually talk to people. The Bible says you start making your way. You start running. People might try to distract you, but you remain focused. You remain committed. You remain dedicated. Why? Because your life is in danger. The life of your family is in danger. You remain committed to the path. That man had one focus, and one focus alone was to get to that place of refuge. Jesus is that refuge.
That is my only desire. When that man was running, people tried to stop him. He says, I got to go. I can't talk to you. Why? Because his life was more important than what someone else had to tell him. He didn't have time for distractions. He didn't have time for casual politics talk. He didn't have time to talk about business. He didn't have time to talk about politics or the next style or the next fashion. The only thing he was worried about was his soul. He had to get to that city of refuge. That was his only salvation. Jesus is our only salvation. Can we say amen? Because he knew directly on his heels, the Avenger was behind him, trying to get a hold of him. Jumping at the bit, just trying to get a hold of him. He didn't have time to rest up a little bit. He's like, man, I got to get to church. I need to go find God. I got to go seek him out. I heard they're having a prayer meeting tonight. I got to go. The boss trying to keep me back. I like, soldier, I can't stay. I got to go to church. You may write the check, but it's God that moves on your heart to write the check. Amen. Let's get our priorities straight. I said this before. The only reason why I have food on the table, clothes on my back, a roof over my head, it's not because of a good job, but it's because of a good God. Because I could lose that job tomorrow, but my God's going to always be with me. Can we say praise the Lord? He was running because he knew. Brother Man talks about it could have been one or a few of these Avengers following after this individual. But his soul was too important. This wasn't a casual walk. Like, I don't know, maybe I'll make it to church next Sunday. I don't know. Me and the boys got something to do. I don't know. His soul was too important. That's how literal it was. His life was in danger. Do you realize how sacred the hour is that you're living in? To be fortified behind that protected word. And he picked up. The Avenger followed him. Those guys were saying, you know what? I'm out to get that soul. Let me put you in perspective. When Israel left Egypt, you thought Pharaoh just sat back and said, all right, you guys go ahead and have a good time. No, sir! When Israel left Egypt, what did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh gathered his troops. He says, what have we done? Let's go after Israel! Let me tell you, the moment you decide to leave this world and say, I've committed myself to God, every demon in hell begins to pursue after you! You're the best that they've ever had, and they want that back. But the moment that I've surrendered my soul to God, God has an obligation to watch over me. And the only thing that was brought between Israel and the Egyptian was waters of separation. Amen. Waters of separation that separates me from the things of this world. You love the Lord? So these men, the slayer ran to the city of refuge. And by the time he got to that city of refuge, he was confronted at the gate. And he had to plead his case before the priest. You don't just walk in like nothing happened. We're going to be quiet about this. No, you got to confess your sins. You got to let the high priest know what's going on. You got to talk to him and say, man, I'm in trouble. You're looking over your shoulders like, yeah, I need access. Yeah, let me tell you what happened. I was out in the woods, and I was chopping some woods, and me and this guy, I didn't mean to kill him. You want to make things right. Why? Because you want access to that city. I'm going to let you know everything you need to know, but right now, I need access. I need access to this word. I need access to Christ. I need access to the city. He's like, so here I was. And I was chopping my wood like this, and the axe go flying off and kill Bob, but I didn't know Bob was right there, you see? And so what happened was, I mean, he's my friend, and I didn't mean to kill him, but I just need access. I just ask you guys to forgive me for what I've done. You got to confess your sins. You got to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, I may be an unworthy servant, but thank God I'm coming to you that you might open the gates of heaven for me. And when they reviewed the situation, I won't keep you too long, but when they reviewed the situation, they grant him access. Oh, my. But you know how comforting it was just to be in that city? The relief. To know that you're under that protected word. You know, Brother Man talked about the story of his two kids, Sarah and Rebecca. And I think many of you know that story pretty well. You know, Brother Man comes back, and I'm going to paraphrase. He comes back from a hard day's work. He's sitting down. And I think it was Rebecca that runs up and, you know, jumps up to Daddy. And Sarah couldn't make her way there. Are you sitting together? And then Rebecca, you know, grabs a hold of Daddy. And Rebecca looks at little Sarah. It says, I have, you know, I have all of Daddy. Yeah. Brother Bram starts feeling sorry for that little girl. She's just struggling, trying to make her way up. Brother Bram reaches out and picks her up and holds her into her bosom. And little Sarah looks back at Rebecca and says, let me tell you something, my big sister. You may have all of Daddy, but I want you to know that Daddy has all of me. Amen. How comforting it is to know that in this day and age, that God has all of us in his bosom. Just to know you have access to that word. How comforting it is. How reassuring. Amen. To know that we have access to this revealed word. But you know, there are certain conditions within the city. Brother Man talks about. Oh, I won't keep you too long, but I just love the word. Brother Man says this. He says, upon your own free will, you have to be willing to go to that city. So you have to be moved, inspired, to go to that city. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, you can't complain. You have to be satisfied while you're in that city. Let me kind of talk about what that means a little bit, because y'all look at me kind of confused. You got to be satisfied in that city. The preacher might preach something real hard. You got to be satisfied to be in that city. It may not tally up with your own ideas and theology, but you got to be satisfied to be in that city. You might not have agreed eye to eye, but you got to be satisfied. You can't complain to us of, oh, the world this, the world that. God has called you to this city. You got to be happy with the conditions and the terms of this city. You might read certain passages within the bylaws of the city, and it might contradict your own ideas. You got to put aside your ideas. There's a reason why you're in this city. And then the other thing about it is, you can't walk around like you're some big shot in this city. Amen. You're not a big shot in the city. You in here for the very reason why the other person's in here in the city. You both needed protection. Both your lives was in danger. Let me tell you, look at somebody else and say, you're in here for the same reason why I'm in here, is because I needed Jesus. That's the reason why we're in here. No big eyes or little U's. We all needed Jesus Christ. We all needed this word. We all needed salvation. Amen. You can't just walk around like you own this city. Amen. You needed the same God that I needed. Brother Branham needed the same God that I needed. The same Savior, the same Redeemer. You're here for the same reason why I'm here, soldier. We needed a Savior. We both got in trouble. We would have been dead had it not been for a city of refuge, a person of refuge called Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we needed access. That's the reason why I could call you brother. I don't need to call you Pope, Episcopal, or whatever it's all called you want to call. In this city, we both are brothers. But you know, and I shared this with the young people on Friday, but I think it's worth repeating again. In the city, it protects you from the Avenger. Are we staying together? I could walk out of that city, and your Avenger may not have anything to do with me. And you could walk out of that same city, and my Avenger may have nothing to do with you. Because the Avenger was not looking for you, he was looking for me. There are certain devils that may not have anything to do with you, but they know my weaknesses. Can we stand together? You might be struggling with something, and it don't bother me not one bit, but it don't mean that I don't have my demons that I got to deal with. That's the reason why we cannot criticize one another. We all needed a high priest. We all needed a Savior. We all needed a God that could protect us from these demons out there. That's the reason why I can't talk about my brother. I can't criticize my sister because I got my own demons I gotta fight. We all needed a protection. We all needed a Savior. We all needed that blood, that word to watch over us. We're so quick to criticize somebody. I don't see why this brother can't overcome that. You can't even overcome your own problem. Every one of us got an Avenger chasing after us. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, where would any of us have been? I like saying amen because it just makes the devil run. Let them know that we're overcomers. And you know, as we begin to wrap up, you know, in this city, the man, the slayer, was protected as long as the high priest was around. As long as the high priest was around. But if anything happened to the high priest, it's a different story. But how fortunate we are to know that we have a high priest. That high priest doesn't just abide from season to season. But the Bible talks about this high priest that abides continually. There's no ending to his ministry. There's no ending to his intercession. There is no ending to his sacrifice. And the only way, you know, no one pushes you out. You got to step out, and that's when you get into trouble. But I want to be so far into the middle of that city, I just want to be right next to Jesus Christ. Just want to be real close. But you got one of them soldiers, you know, they just want to kind of walk the line a little bit, and they'll be tempting their Avenger. You want to cross this line?
You want to cross this line?
I don't flirt with the devil like that. I don't flirt with the devil like that. My soul is too important for me to flirt with the devil. I want to be so fortified, so protected behind the word of God. You know, there's a story, I believe it's Joab, and I'm going to break it up, but it's in Samuel, where Joab wanted revenge with one of the men. And I won't do justice to the story, but I just caught bits and pieces before I came out. And what happened was that he ran to Hebron, which was one of the the cities of refuge. And for a duration of time, that individual was in Hebron. And Joab, you know, lured him right outside of the gate of the city. But for the longest, Joab never forgotten his deed and his actions. And he remembered that, but he also respected, because Joab was one of David's men. He respected that. He says, look, I'm just going to wait for the right opportunity. And I think what it was, the man killed Joab's brother. I think that's what happened. And so it was through a misunderstanding and everything else. And, you know, so here he was in Hebron. And he realized this. And Joab says, and he knows that he can't go in there and kill him. So he lures him out. The Bible says out of the gate. Let me tell you, no sooner when you walk through those doors after a good service, Satan's waiting for you at the gate. Are we staying together? He lures him out of the gate. And through that, he realized that he was under the blood. He was taken away from the blood. He was no longer under protection. And he slew him right there. Are we staying together? Satan will find every avenue to lure you away from this message. He will lure you away. He'll put certain thoughts into your mind. He'll have you look at one another kind of awkward and funny. You start building resentment towards your pastor. Start building resentment towards one another. Contrary to what Jesus says, when he says, this they'll know that you're my disciples, when you have love one for the other. Are we staying together? And so Satan understood that. He would try to lure you out. But saints, your only protection is behind a fortified word. Amen. And one closing thought. It's interesting because the access to the cities of refuge, unlike many of the roadways to in Palestine, it was filled with all kinds of things that were just deplorable and things that just made it hard. But the cities, the cities of refuge, the road leading to the cities of refuge, the way one historian phrased it, it was actually pristine. They needed immediate access so that way you couldn't get lost. You had to have direct access so that way there wouldn't be any confusion. Let me tell you, saints, along the way throughout the ages, things may have gotten a little bit confusing. But that's the reason why it's no coincidence that in this last day that God sent us a prophet. Yes. And what does he do? He begins to tie those loose ends. Yes. He begins to clear the path. Right. So that way we don't run to a prophet, but we run to Jesus Christ. Amen. So that way we have access to Jesus Christ. This message is not a message about the prophet. This message is the message of Jesus Christ. So that way we can run directly to the opening of this word. And we can see Christ for who he is. And we as ministers of the gospel have a responsibility to maintain that same access, not to my ministry, but to the ministry of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord? Let's all just stand to our feet. Let's give God a clap offering. Jesus is that city of refuge. He's the person of refuge. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. and I'll give you rest for your souls. As the musician comes up, y'all know that song, Mercy, Rewrote My Life? Amen. I'm not much of a singer, but I like to sing congregational. Let's try singing that song, Mercy, Rewrote My Life. Soldier, you know that song?
A little bit, bro.
A little bit? Well, we'll try to get it started. And I don't know what key I'm in. I don't know if I'm an X, Y, or Z. But all I know is I love the Lord. You know, Soldier, you know that song, Mercy, Rewrote My Life? All right, you look like a singer. Maybe you could kick us off. If not, maybe I'm just kind of praying it on you. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
God is good. Just to know that there's a place that we can run to. A place of safety. Saints, how comforting it is to know that when you're in your jobs, there's a place of safety. You know, in this economic turmoil that we're in, people are looking for some sort of refuge. They want peace. They're looking for some sort for somebody to say something right.
Yeah.
They're looking for some sort of assurance.
Right.
Let me tell you, this message is much more than rhetoric. Amen. It's a reality.
Yes.
To know that you could be in your jobs and still find refuge.
Yes.
When decisions about you are being made, whether or not you could come to work tomorrow or not, there's a place of refuge.
Yes.
When the bill collectors are calling you on the phone, there's a place of refuge.
Yes.
When you don't know how you're going to make the car payment, there's a place of refuge.
Yes.
When your family's in turmoil, there's a place of refuge.
Yes.
Let me tell you, we credit God for being the creator of heavens,
yes,
the creator of the universe,
yes,
the creator of space.
Yes.
I'm sure he's able to take care of your little bit of problem.
Yes.
We'll step back. We say, that's my God. He's the one that created the heavens. He's the one that created the universe, the galaxies, the stars. And yet we complain about our little bit of problem. The same God that you could credit for those big things is the same God that can take care of you and your families.
Mercy rewrote my life.
Hallelujah.
Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but mercy.
Sing it all one more time.
Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote
my life. Sing it, sing. Oh, I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, that's good. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my life. Whoa. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Thank you, Jesus.
I should have fallen, but by the grace of God, I'm still here.
Yeah.
How many appreciate the message today? My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Let's have a closing prayer. Dear Lord, we just appreciate you stopping by our little place today. And everyone was predestinated to be here, was here, and just heard your wonderful word, dear Lord God. We thank you for these days we're living in where we have recorders, dear Lord, so others can hear. Thank you for your blessing, sending our brother here with a word today. Thank you for everything that took place today and everyone that is here. May you bless us now, dear Lord God, as we depart. And as our brother said, we know the enemy is waiting at the door, but we are filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. He'll keep us until the next time. We just got to trust and believe in him. We thank you, dear Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Ushers will lead you all out as you're ready to go here. Fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, it was mercy that rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, it was mercy rewrote my life. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Amen. My life. Ooh, mercy rewrote my life. Ooh, I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Oh, God's mercy rewrote my